Well, thank you, Brother David, and God bless you. Hello, saints. Good to be with you. A little warmer today than it was yesterday. Praise God. Let's go to the Lord. Lord, I just ask you and praise you. Ask you to be with us today. Lead us and guide us and direct us, Lord, in this holy walk you've got us in. And show us how to abide in Christ. Help us to understand what you have for us in your word, Lord. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Well, I want to talk a little bit about Christ in us. And I want to quote a couple of paragraphs out of a Andy Murray thing here to begin with. And then we'll get into the study. He comes up with 1 Corinthians 1 and 31st. He said, "Of God are ye in Christ Jesus, who was made unto us wisdom from God, both righteousness and sanctification and redemption." And then he quotes John 15 and 1. "My Father is the husbandman." And then we get into it. He says, "Ye are in Christ Jesus." The believers at Corinth were still feeble and carnal, only babes in Christ. And yet Paul wants them at the outset of his teaching to know distinctly that they are in Christ Jesus. The whole Christian life depends on the clear consciousness of our position in Christ. Most essential to the abiding in Christ is the daily renewal of our faith assurance. I am in Christ Jesus. All fruitful preaching to believers must take this as its starting point. Ye are in Christ Jesus. But the apostle has an additional thought of almost greater importance. Of God, he says, of God are ye in Christ Jesus. He would have us not only remember our union to Christ, but especially that it is not our own doing, but the work of God himself. As the Holy Spirit teaches us to realize this, we shall see what a source of assurance and strength it must become to us. If it is of God alone that I am in Christ, then God himself, the infinite one, becomes my security for all I can need or wish in seeking to abide in Christ. Andy Murray. Well, it's the glory of God, and that what God is seeking is that glory manifested in us. That's what he calls our fruit, and that's what he calls sonship. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4, "When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall ye also with him be manifested in glory." Now, manifested is a good term because it doesn't give the meaning of a physical appearance. The meaning of manifested here is to cause to shine, to make visible. And obviously the life of Christ is being birthed in us, but it's not yet all visible to the world around us. And it's similar to bringing forth a child. There's a time when the fruit is visible and seen, you understand. The fruit we want, of course, is the fruit of Christ. It says, when Christ, who is our life, should be made visible, then shall ye also with him be manifested in glory. And that glory is the shining forth of the righteousness and the purity and the truth of Christ. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. That's 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. And you know what that glory is? It's the life of Christ. And it's imputed to us by walking in obedience to the Word of God, and it becomes an actual part of our life, our nature, and our thoughts. And we grow from glory to glory in our progress. It's a progressive walk that we have. We know that as we behold the glory of the Lord, we're transformed into that image from glory to glory. But the Word speaks about getting a greater revelation of the Lord in the mirror that's slightly different. 1 Corinthians 13:10. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. That perfection is the fruit, folks. It's the glory of God. It's His sonship. And God's going to say the same thing in many different ways, just so that we can understand it. Then verse 11 out of 1 Corinthians 13. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I felt as a child. I thought as a child. Now that I am become a man, I have put away childish things. Now he's talking here about coming to perfection and coming into God's maturity. And it's the same word being used, completion. For now, in verse 12, for now we see in a mirror darkly. Now we understand from 2 Corinthians 3:18 that we see Jesus in a mirror and we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory. But we don't start out seeing that clear image of Jesus at the beginning, do we? We see Him somewhat. And then as we grow in knowledge and understanding of the Word, we come into more and more of that revelation of who He really is. A lot of us have known a false Jesus. That's a Jesus who's not the real Jesus. We've had an immature idea of what Jesus is like. But as we go on, we learn about the Word and discover His will, His desire, His power, and His nature in the Word. Then we come into that greater revelation, don't we? Now that word darkly in the Greek means in a riddle. And a riddle is something that hides the truth, okay? And the Bible's that way. Proverbs 25:2 said, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. Now, he's hidden the face of Christ in here for those who really, truly desire to come into the revelation of who He is, to walk in that and to see Him in the mirror. Folks, it's a progressive thing, okay? We keep learning. We keep adding on to Christ into our life. Then he says in 1 Corinthians 13:12, for now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. What he's talking about here is when that which is perfect is come. You see, the closer we get to the end, the more we see that true image of Jesus, right? We come to know Him as He is, as we become more and more familiar with the Word. And His Word is His nature, and He is the Word. Jesus is the Word. Verse 12, for now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know fully, even as also I was fully known. In other words, when that which is perfect is come, okay? Knowing in part is seeing dimly, darkly, into the mirror, and in a riddle in the mirror. But knowing fully is coming to know the true Jesus, okay? You need to come to know Him, because when you look in the mirror, that's your gift. You're reaching out in your faith to receive all that He is, because He made reconciliation for you. He made that exchange for you. And then it goes on to say in verse 13, but now abides faith, hope, love, these three. And the greatest of these is love. So here we are. We're growing in this glory to glory revelation, and we're growing into the revelation of who Jesus Christ is, right? Now, let's point out something here about the stages of glory in our Christian walk, okay, in our Christian growth here. 1 Corinthians 15:35. But some will say, how are the dead raised, and with what manner of body do they come? Thou foolish one, that which thou thyself sowest is not quickened except it die. So we're talking here about the kinds of bodies that Christians are going to have, okay? In verse 37, and that which thou sowest not the body what that shall be, but a bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other kind. But God gives it a body even as it pleased him, and to each seed a body of its own. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, and another flesh of birds, and another of fishes. Well, what's the point that God's making here? Well, he's speaking of the difference in the earthly flesh that all creatures have. And so also in the resurrected body, there's going to be a difference, right? 40. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. So we're sown terrestrial as an earthly body, but we'll come forth out of Christ as a celestial and heavenly body. And that's a whole lot higher creation than the one we got in now, right? But now he tells us his secret, and one that a bunch of folks don't know. 41. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. There are different glories. There are star glory, moon glory, and sun glory. And even the stars have a different glory from one another. So also is the resurrection of the dead. In other words, not everybody's going to have the same body, because they're not going to have the glory when they finished here. Now, let's see what we're talking about here. Verse 42, it is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Now, y'all remember what we see here, that the spiritual bodies are different, okay? If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. 45. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Howbeit, that is not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, then that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is of heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, let us, okay, that's in the numerics there. It does, a lot of them it says we shall, but it's let us also bear the image of the heavenly. A lot of people like we shall when they transcribed it because it don't give them any responsibility right now. But what it really says in the numerics, it says, let us also bear the image of the heavenly. Where are we supposed to bear the image of the heavenly? In the hereafter? No, we start right here. God starts that. First the spirit, then the soul, and then ultimately the body. We know that sonship starts first in your spirit, okay? That's the spirit of Christ. Then through your obedience to the spirit, your soul is begotten or born again through the living word of God. And then ultimately, if you're born fruit there, you receive that new body. Praise God. Now he's commanding us. He says, let us also bear the image of the heavenly. How do we do that? Well, this glorious body that we receive, that's the star, the moon, and the sun glory body, are all given because of the star, moon, and sun glory light. That's a difference of rewards, and the Bible teaches that. All right, let's look a little bit deeper into this. And as a good example of God using these different glories as types of bodies of people on the earth, okay? This following passage that I'm going to quote with a dream that Joseph had after he had the dream of the sheaves of his brethren bowing down to his sheaf. Genesis 37:9 says this. It says, and he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed yet a dream, and behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him, and he said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him. But his father kept the saying in his mind. He thought probably this. He said, maybe there's something spiritual here. Maybe there's something I ain't really enlightened about. I better keep this in the back of my mind, file it back here, because something happens in the future. But you know, let's look at what God likened his people to. Joseph was likened to one of the stars who had been separated from his brethren for the purpose of reigning. God's doing that now, folks. He's raising up a man-child ministry. And if you'll notice that all of God's people are stars, but there is one that is called the moon, which is the mother. In Revelation 12, the mother's position was standing on the moon. That's her position in God, standing on the moon. And she brought forth the man-child, who in that case was Joseph. He's a type of the man-child. He's a good type, too. Of course, the father here was the son. Jesus is called the father of eternity because he's the one who sows the seed in us that brings forth the fruit of himself of Christ. And we see here that God is using the sun, moon, and star glories as types or groups of his people. Well, if you want to look first at what these stars represent, we can see that God said this to Abraham a couple of times in Genesis 22 and 17. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. So here we are, the seed of Abraham, and he's the father of us all. The Bible calls us stars. So we all start out our life as star glory, but we shouldn't end up that way. Praise God. One thing glory represents is righteousness. It represents the percentage of the life of Christ. And if you start out as star glory, for instance, as you're first born again, you have a glory. All stars have their own glory. And that comes into the parable more and more as we look at the moon and sun glory in comparison. In a way, you can see that the stars are separated one from another, because they have their own glory. They have their own righteousness. Every star has a percentage of the righteousness of the Lord. Because as we're born again, we get a new spirit, a born-again spirit from God. That spirit is full of the glory of God. We had a fallen spirit, and now, suddenly, we got a born-again spirit. It's called the Spirit of Christ in Romans chapter 8. But even though we have the righteousness of God, we've got self-righteousness there as well. And that's what keeps us apart. Like all the stars are separated, right? But if you consider Christ to be the sun, they are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. And that's a good thing. But they're separated from one another. Now here's a different example about the stars in Daniel 12 and 3. And they that are wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Folks, there's fixing to come a great revival in these end times. Many people that have had no glory whatsoever are going to suddenly walk in the glory of God in a percentage, and star glory represents a 30-fold percentage. There are three bearings of fruit according to the parable of the sower. There's a 30-fold, a 60-fold, and a 100-fold. That's the ones who entered into the kingdom. So we look at and we see star glory is the beginning, and it represents the 30-fold fruit. Many will be turned to righteousness as the stars, the Bible tells us. Then after star glory, we have another stage into which we have to grow. The stars were separated one from another, and they have their own glory. And this, in a way, separates them because glory is righteousness. We have some self-righteousness, and we have some God-righteousness. That self-righteousness keeps us from becoming one, okay? Now, the next stage that we grow into is moon glory. And here's a really good example of moon glory in Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Or are ye ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. We have to become united with him in the likeness of his death to reach that moon glory. Because, you know, the moon's dead. It don't have any kind of life on it at all. It doesn't have any righteousness of its own, but it reflects only what the sun reflects on it. And it's given up its own righteousness to reflect only the righteousness of the sun. That's all the moon can do, because it's just plumb dead, folks. But it's also one, okay? Many stars are separate because of their own glory, as we've seen. Denominations are separated from one another because of self-righteousness. People separate from one another due to self-righteousness because they're immature and factious, dividing into and denominating from one another. Jesus prayed that they may be one even as we are one, John 17:22. But instead, because of their self-righteousness, they're proud, and they resist the word of God, and they fight against their brethren. So through death to self, we become united with one another. That's the second stage. That's moon glory. And like the moon, it says, we become united with him in the likeness of his death. We also shall be united with him in his resurrection. That's the sun glory. And as we walk through the phase of death to self, we come to the resurrection life. That is the 100-fold sun glory. Praise God. That's completion, folks. That's perfection in itself. That's sonship. And that's what we're talking about here. We're already sons of God by faith, aren't we? But we're walking into it through the death, burial, and resurrection that these three glories represent. Romans 6:6 says this, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, that so we should no longer be in bondage to sin. Death to that old man. Death to that old self. That's how we come into that resurrection life of Christ, folks. We don't have any light of our own, but we reflect only that light which comes from Jesus. All right, let's go a little bit deeper, okay, into the moon glory. Revelation 12:1, and a great sign was seen in heaven, a woman arrayed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Everything's represented here, the sun, the moon, and the stars. This woman gives birth to the man child. He's the first fruits. It's called in Revelation 14. That man-child ministry that's coming forth is the first fruits of those who come into that sun glory. And it's all by grace, folks. It's by his calling and by his direction, and it's going to come to pass. And the woman here is the corporate mother of this corporate man-child. The 12 stars around her head are her children, and it also represents the doctrine of the 12 apostles, okay, around her mind. Now, there's a lot of things you could see here that might all be correct, because God's big. He can hide an awful lot of things in a revelation. You know, you could peel off layer after layer in the Word of God, find all kinds of things in there. And obviously, moon glory is not yet perfect, nor is star glory. And God tells us so in Job. Neither one of these are quite clean in his eyes, nor quite finished in his eyes. Job 25:5 says, behold, even the moon hath no brightness, and the stars are not pure in his sight. God's looking for something greater than moon glory and greater than star glory for us. He's looking for the resurrected life of Christ in each one of us, and that's his most brilliant glory. Then he goes on to say in verse 6, how much less man that is a worm and the son of man that is a worm. God looks on lost men as a creature of the dirt of the earth. He considers us no more than a worm. And that worm, that dirt, is made to bring forth the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his purpose. And without that, we're not fulfilling the will of God, folks. We're growing, and the people of God will grow through this process, especially in the days to come, from star glory to moon glory to sun glory. Praise God. You know, Isaiah has a really good revelation of this growth that's going to come to pass in during this tribulation that's almost on us here. Isaiah 30 and 26 says, moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, praise God. Those who go through this death to self going to come out into that resurrection light. That's what we just got through reading in Romans 6. Now, Isaiah 30 and 26 again. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days. Well, here's a revelation, folks. Sevenfold here means that God is going to bring forth fruit out of all the church, all seven churches. He's going to bring forth a fruit out of them that's going to come into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, there ain't all of them going to come into that sun glory, but it's going to be spread throughout the church. And that's where we get sevenfold. And it's going to be as the light of 7 days. And that's talking about the tribulation period there. The time that the Bible calls the tribulation period is the time of the most growth, the quickest growth for God's people. Because they're going through their wilderness experience, whether they like it or not. They're learning to give up themselves. They're learning to come into that faith relationship with God in the wilderness. Spiritual growth is going to be extremely fast at that time because of the great latter rain outpouring that comes on the morning of the third day. That's where we are right now, folks. Just like Hosea told us. Now, Isaiah 30 and 26 again. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days, in the day that the Lord bindeth up the hurt of his people and heals the stroke of their wound. Folks, God's going to heal his people. He's going to bind up that which was broken. Y'all remember the Isaiah 61 anointing of Jesus? He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Praise God. God's going to restore his lame, blind people that are walking as lame and blind out there in the world. He's going to restore all of that in these days. He called it the latter rain. He said it's going to be a restoration of all the things that the pommel worm, the locust, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar of Joel 1 and 4 had taken from his crop for all of these years. This is the greatest promise of God that's going to come forth in these last days, folks. I'm getting excited about it, glory to God. How y'all reckon this growth is going to take effect? Okay, let's get back. Here's what Paul says in Philippians 3 and 9. And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own. There it is right there. He's not going to settle for star glory that separates him from his brethren. Then it goes on and says, even that which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. This glory, which is righteousness shining forth from us, is coming because of our faith in God, not because anything that we can do or any kind of an ability that we have. Then verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Folks, that's the sun glory. And the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming conformed unto his death. That's the unity that God is going to bring his people to through death. And this wilderness is a death experience in order to bring God's people into his presence. This unity is going to be that moon glory that brings us to the resurrection life. What's that resurrection life? Verse 11. If by any means I may attain unto the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already obtained or am already made perfect. That's what the resurrection life is. Perfection. It's the sun glory, okay? But I press on if so be that I may lay hold on that for which also I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. Well, how did he lay hold on us? Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He perfected us. Now, we're seeing perfection as a resurrection life, and we're seen as the sun glory people that are going to enter into this, okay? Now, let's look at that sun glory stage. That's the one I want. 2 Peter 1:19, and we have the word of prophecy made more sure, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a lamp shining in a dark place. Now, when you're in your star glory, the dark place is your soul, because it's the next party that needs to be sanctified, okay? God gives us a new spirit first, so we have a power, a connection, a discernment, and then that ability to walk with Jesus. Now, the next stage is having your soul born again through your obedience to the truth, which is what Peter said, 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth, in other words, when you obey your spirit, your soul is going to be born again, okay? Unto unfeigned love of the brethren, love one another from the heart fervently, having been begotten again or born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a lamp shining in a dark place. Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost parts. Folks, the brightest part of you, the most connected with God part of you, is your spirit. And now your soul needs to take on the life of that spirit. So your lamp, your spirit, is shining forth with the oil, the light of the Spirit of God, into your soul to regenerate your soul. And what does Peter say? 2 Peter 1:19. And we have the word of prophecy made more sure, whereunto ye do well that you take heed as unto a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. That's where we get that word phosphorus from. Day star comes from phosphoros, meaning light bearing. The archaic meaning of day star was the sun. So when we're talking about the day star rising in your heart, we're talking about sun glory being manifested in you. So we have a little bit of evidence here, and we also have the words morning star, okay, Revelation 22:16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright, the morning star. So the Lord is our bright morning star. So that's another meaning for the glory of the sun. And until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. So we got an end. We have a purpose here. Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the righteous is as the dawning light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. The dawning light brings you into that perfect light. What's the perfect light? It ain't the evening. It's the midday, ain't it? We have more and more of the light in our life and less shadow there. And as y'all know, the least shadow is at the perfect part of the day. That's when the sun is straight up overhead. That's our light. When we're walking in nothing but the light of God's word, this word of prophecy made more sure. The word which was given to beget our soul unto him. Listen, we're called to manifest Christ in spirit and soul while we walk in this body, okay? Those are stages while we walk in this body. We're putting on Christ. We're putting on his bright garment. We're talking about a garment for the flesh? No, we're talking about a garment for the soul here, folks. Romans 13:11. And this, knowing the season, that already it is time for you to awake out of sleep. For now is salvation nearer to us than when we first believed. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. What's our works? Well, faith without works is dead. It's incomplete, right? The fruit of faith is works. the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, and long-suffering, these are works. But they are the works that are birthed from your spirit. That's why they're called the fruit of the Spirit. And they're birthed by everybody that walks by faith. So works is the fruit of faith. And don't tell me that you got faith, but you don't have works. James said, I by my works will show you my faith. Now, we're not talking about the works of man or the works of the law here. We're talking about the works of God through you. And if you walk by faith, you're going to have the works of God, right? Romans 13 and 12. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. And if you'll notice, as you put on the works of light, you're casting off the works of darkness, right? That's a garment. You're taking off one garment, putting on another garment called the armor of light. It's not only the the works of light, it's the armor of light, because the armor of light is protection against the enemy that wants to drag you down, folks. Romans 13 and 13 says, let us walk becomingly as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and jealousy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. So we put on the armor of light. We put on the salvation he's talking about, and that's Jesus Christ. And if you put on the works of the devil, you're putting on the works of darkness. 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So we're putting on a garment, the Bible calls it. And we're warned that God doesn't want that garment to be polluted or stained. It don't need to be a dirty garment, does it? Jude chapter 1, verse 23. And some save, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So you can have the works of darkness on your clean garment, but you're supposed to hate the works of darkness. We're to turn away from them. We're to cast them down, and we're to cast off that garment and put on the garment that the Lord has commanded us to wear. That's sanctification, folks. That's what perfection is. And that's what putting on the works of Christ is. We need to constantly be putting on the works of Christ as we read the Word of God. Now, we know that these are stages of perfection, even to the end, it says. Revelation 19:7 says, let us rejoice and be exceeding glad, and let us give the glory unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And if you'll notice, it says herself. You know, we got the authority to do that. Romans 8 and 13, for if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. You have to take the authority of God and the power of God's Spirit to do that, folks. And if you don't cooperate, it ain't going to get done. So it's up to you to do what God has given you to do. He's given you the authority. Revelation 19 and 8, and it was given unto her that she should array herself in fine linen, bright. That word means radiant, bright, and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. So we're putting on the garment of light. Folks, really and truly, in the spirit realm, we're doing that because many people have seen it already. Have you ever had anybody tell you you glowed? Amen. And if you'll notice, those who are bidden or invited to the marriage supper, they don't have the same garment. The bride's got that garment because there's a difference between the bride and the virgins and between the bride and those that are bidden to the marriage supper. Revelation 19 and 9, he saith unto me, right, blessed are they that are bidden to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Listen, you don't invite the bride, okay? She's one of the ones doing the inviting. But there are people who will come to the marriage feast and won't be in the bride, folks. Because the scriptures teaches that real plain. The virgins are not a part of the bride, contrary to popular thinking. Now, these people are riding white horses to finish off the enemies of God, okay? Verse 14, and the armies which are in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and pure. There's the fine linen again. Except this time, the word is white, which is leukos, not lampros. Brilliant. Lampros means brilliant. Leukos means white. Doesn't have the glory of the lampros garment. Glory is radiant, and this is leukos. And they're invited, but they're not the bride, folks. The bride is the sun glory. And God's plan is that he has given to us everything that we need to enter into sun glory. A lot of folks don't cooperate. Many don't accept the faith or the knowledge that's been given unto them. And they run after idols. They don't have time for God. And they don't have time for his word to renew their mind. So they sell themselves short. Now, since we're seeing that works have everything to do with star, moon, and sun glory, there's a difference in rewards, as we read about in 1 Corinthians 15. We'll also see it in 2 Corinthians 4 and 17. For our light affliction, which is for the moment, worketh for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. Glory. The glory is what we're talking about, folks. This brilliance, this brightness, this sun glory that we're coming into, folks. The tribulations that we go through are to bring about his glory. And we need to cooperate with God in this. God's going to send plenty of people to help us, to put us on our cross. I'm telling you, he's going to do it. There's a bunch of them out there. So we go through suffering for the purpose of Christ's life being manifested in us. That's what it's for. And we need to cooperate with God, because this more eternal weight of glory only works while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In other words, we call the things that are not as though they were in Romans 4 and 17. We look in the mirror and we see Jesus. We accept our sun glory from the very beginning, because Christ is the one who lives in us. And that's why we can look in the mirror and see Jesus. Glory to God. Galatians 2 and 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. Folks, that's faith. That's looking not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. And that you got to do, because it's faith that brings about that manifestation of sonship. Now, let's go a little bit further down into the 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if the earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. Look here. Now, he fixed to tell us a secret. Verse 2, for verily in this we groan, longing to be clothed upon. There's some clothing again, right? With our habitation, which is from heaven. Do you know God's doing that now? It's the glory of God in which we're dressing up the life of Christ. First our spirit, then our soul, and then body. Verse 3, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Now, when your body dies, and if you don't have this glory, you're going to be found naked. Verse 4, for indeed we that are in this tabernacle, that's what we're, our body right here, do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed. In other words, we're not hankering to physically die here, okay? But that we would be clothed upon, that what is mortal may be swallowed up of life. What he's saying is, not that we would lose this body, but that we would be clothed upon while we have this body, okay? That's contrary to a lot of people's theology. But it's plain, folks. He's saying it's not that we're looking for this body to pass away. We're looking for this glory before we lose this body. Now notice that we would be clothed upon that what is mortal may be swallowed up of life. That life has to swallow us up, folks. Verse 5. Now he that wrought us for this very thing is God, who gave unto us the earnest of the Spirit, being therefore always of good courage, and knowing that while We are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Then verse 10, for we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. The judgment seat is the Bema seat, and it means footprint tribunal. You're going to be judged by how closely you walked in the footprints of Christ. John tells us the same thing in 1 John 2 and 6. He that says he abides in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Listen, we all are going to have to go to the footprint tribunal of Christ, right? Now, let me show you something about 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 from the numerics, which prove what the original words were, because the translator understanding has gotten in here, okay? God put a perfect pattern in every Greek word in the New Testament, just so we'd know that. In the numerics New Testament, it says that each may receive through the body according to what he hath done, whether good or bad. That means your works, coming right back around, full circle here, your works are going to determine what kind of body you're going to get, because your works determine what glory you're walking in. Your works determine how much of the glory of God you're walking in, whether you're star, moon, or sun glory. And if you'll notice, it says what he hath done, whether good or bad. That's what's going to determine what kind of body you get. Now, we see that there's a star glory body, a moon glory body, and a sun glory body. And we've seen what it takes to go from star glory to sun glory. Now, we're seeing that our works are our fruit and our faith, and that's what everyone is going to be judged by. You know that everybody's going to be judged by their works. Nowhere does it say that he's going to judge your faith. In every instant, he says you're going to be judged by your works. Revelations chapter 2 and verse 23, and I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he that searches the reins and hearts, and I will give unto each one of you according to your works. Jesus said he would render to every man according to his works in Matthew 16:27 and Proverbs 24 and 12. Always, everywhere, it says that God is going to render unto you according to your works. And if you look at the parable of the servants and the talents that were given to them, their judgment was according to their works. And if you look at the cities that people are going to rule over, again, it was according to their works, right? Now, who is it that ends up not bearing fruit? They that allow their garment that was given unto them in the beginning to be stained. They that walk in sin. What's going to happen to those people? And who are those people? Well, let me point something out to you. Revelation 6 and 12. And I saw when he opened the sixth seal that there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the whole moon became as blood. Folks, that's the persecution and death of the saints. And the stars of heaven fell onto the earth. If one star fell to the earth, y'all know there wouldn't be no earth left, would it? It ain't talking about a physical star falling to the earth. It's talking about those who are sealed with Christ in heavenly places. That's the seed of Abraham. And it's meant to be a parable, and you destroy it if you make it natural. Verse 13, and the stars of the heaven fell unto the earth as a fig tree. That represents God's people. Cast her unripe figs when she's shaken of a great wind. This is the fruit that God expects the fig tree to bear. Y'all remember what Jesus said in the parable? Give it one more year, Father, and then cut it down if it doesn't bear fruit. Well, here it is. It's being cut down. There's some people out there say that's the angel. No, it ain't the angel. It's the unripe fruit of God's people. It's God's stars who have not progressed nor even held their own. That's the servant with the one talent that hid his talent in the earth. He didn't bear any fruit. He didn't even save what he had. But look at what Revelation says about the dragon that's waiting before the woman. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stands before the woman that is about to be delivered. That's talking about the seed of God's people. The seed of Abraham, who lose their position of being seated with Christ in the heavenlies. That's their reprobation, folks. He said he was going to spew the lukewarm out of his mouth. And what he means is out of the body of Christ. Those who don't bear fruit to walk in the glory of God, to walk in progressive manifestation of sonship, to walk by faith so that their faith is accounted as righteous. These people are ultimately going to fall away and go through the great and terrible day of the Lord. They're going to go through the flood and they're going to be destroyed, folks. So we got a certain amount of time here, each one of us, in order to bear the fruit, in order to walk in the steps of Jesus. And that when we are called before the Bema Seat, the footprint tribunal, that we will receive through the body according to what we have done, whether good or bad. What does that through the body mean? How is God going to reward us through the body? Well, he's going to give us a body accordingly and suiting the work that we've done on this earth. And the work that we're doing in the place of fruit that we are at the time. Now, we desire earnestly that his fruit be in us so that we can be that sun glory, which is a hundredfold. There's a bunch of folks out there, a bunch of Christian folks that said that ain't possible. Well, it ain't up to us. It's up to God. He's the one that fulfills it for all those who walk by faith, folks. 2 Corinthians 4:19, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we are looking at the eternal life of Christ that was given to us at the cross. Folks, we don't live anymore. Jesus lives in us. That's sun glory. Accept that free gift, walk in it, and God's going to empower you. And he's going to bring it to pass, praise God. Y'all just believe, okay? Then I want to close with something again from Andrew Murray. He says, we have not only Christ's life in us as a power and his presence with us as a person, but we have his likeness to be perfected in us. He is to be formed in us so that his form or figure, his likeness, can be seen in us. Bow before God until you get some sense of the greatness and blessedness of the work to be carried on by God in you this day. And say to God, Father, here I am for you to give as much in me of Christ's likeness as I can receive. And then wait to hear him say this, my child, I give you as much of Christ as your heart is open to receive. Wow, the God who revealed Jesus in the flesh and perfected him will reveal him in you and perfect you in him. The Father loves the Son and delights to work out his image and likeness in you. Count upon it that this blessed work will be done in you as you wait on your God and hold fellowship with him. Well, glory to God. Father, I thank you so much for this message. And I praise you, Lord, for all that's going to grab it, hold on to it, bow down, and thank God that they're going to be walking that walk. They're going to have that sonship by that resurrected power walk that you want us to walk in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, I'm out of time. God bless you, and we'll see you next time, God willing.